So much of what's happening in Pittsburgh right now with regard to poetry is happening because of Jan Beatty. So much of what is happening, let me say about five times. So much of what is happening in Pittsburgh today is happening because of Jan Beatty. What has happened at Carlo University, what's happened with all of us who've worked with her individually in workshops, who have been so lucky to have her help us see that maybe we really might be writing poetry after all. There's some way to do this, maybe, you know? I'm not sure it's true for me and for a lot of people I know who are in this room. We cannot thank her enough. She has wonderful books for sale. She has a wonderful program called Prosody, which I think we should all write or email and tell people we want to hear it sometime earlier than 6:30 in the morning. I mean something later. Later. No. I meant later. I'm late. I need a drink. Okay. We will do that soon. And it is really wonderful that she is here to share her poetry with us tonight. She does so much for all of us in the poetry world. It is great to have her here tonight. It is my great pleasure to introduce Jan Beatty. Yeah.
Wow. I just want to say, Stace, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. Stacey Waite. I'm still on Stacey Waite here, as I know everyone is here, as we should be. I don't want you to cry. No crying in poetry. But... you know, it's just great to read with you and Ed. And I was thinking of early on hanging with Stacy. Remember when we were hanging in the Writing Center years ago, talking trash and making plans and talking about our books that didn't exist yet? And it was great. And then I want to thank Stacy for her deep voice, which is handsome and wonderful. And I also want to say that Stacy Waite and I took this trip, which you might know about, when we went to Pocatello, Idaho for the first annual conference on gender, and they weren't quite ready for us, you know? And we could tell you the whole story later, but the thing you want to remember if you go to Pocatello and you're not quite totally mainstream is don't go into the Pizza Hut. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to read this for Stacy. Stacy asked me one day, she said, Jan, you mind if I teach this poem to my theory class? I said, hell no, they need some poetry, don't they? So here it is. When Foucault entered the body. Oh, and there's one objectionable word in here. It's panties. But yeah, notice you already said it. But, you know, I say it a couple times here, and but I can't say panties, because I just can't, okay? So it's panties. If you hear me saying panties, that's what I'm saying. Panties, yeah. Yeah, you can't say panties, or something's wrong, yeah. Okay. When Foucault entered the body, my friend Aaron said he'd like to give Sean Penn a tongue bath. And I guess that's clear enough. But I want more. I want to wear men's shoes because they're stylish, sturdy. And just because I think Patricia Arquette's beautiful doesn't mean I want to be her. Just give me a wife beater and an AK-47, and I'll be Nick Cage busting up Con Air fucking A. You can call me shallow, but in grad school, the main theory head called me late at night for advice about his boyfriend, and that's when Foucault entered the body. Give me a break with his I'm not speaking routine. Nobody wants to inhabit his, her body all the time. Take my friend Aaron, for example. When he's irritated, he says, panties, panties, panties. And that helps calm him down. And just because my husband had to explain Papa Chubby, the blues singer, to me, doesn't mean I'm naive, just on vacation. Why stay in the body and miss the ricochet back in, the cool body return with its jolt of red sugar? And don't you just love the inside out of it? The veins and pink slippery animal openings of it. Panties, panties, panties. When I dress in drag, honey, I'll be in a pink flower prom gown with a motherfucking tiara. Because a shark skin suit would be too much like home. Okay, this is called Shrink, and it has an epigraph from Woody Allen. And actually, I want to thank Joan Bauer for this and Joseph Karasek for this poem, because I was actually staying at your house in California looking at your books where I got this. Okay, so this is Woody Allen. There is no question that there is an unseen world. The problem is, how far is it from Midtown, and how late is it open? Shrink. I tell him the unseen world is dragging me down, sort of like eating a whole rack of ribs at one sitting. I hate the heaviness of getting up in the morning, but I like biting the bones. He says, you want success, but you refuse to suck up to the people you hate. That's it, I say. He's brilliant, but sometimes it doesn't matter what he says, just that there's somebody who can hear the dark wildness. You want to be loved and adored, he says, but you feel horrible guilt for wanting it. What does he do with what he's seen? All the heart splitting, the rantings, the fright of it. Think of antidepressants as super tankers. They can't turn on a dime, he says. I love it when he uses metaphors. I see what you're saying, I say. This is all about social contracts, he says. Sometimes he talks about his life. You remind me of my son, he says. He needs a lot of room. We went looking for colleges for him, and I knew he needed to be by the ocean. A city college would just close him in. He needs the air, the open sky. I want to cry at his tenderness. I leave the office in love with the raw body, loving the moving sea, the sweet sadness of the wrecking ball in all of us. I think everybody I know, there's so many people here, everybody I know lost a lot of people in the last year and a half. This is called On Leaving, the Fifth Funeral in 25 Weeks. I watch the alarm system at night from my bed. I keep the rows of yellow green lights in order, five down, four across. I count them again, and then I check them. This way, I will keep my heart beating and the hearts of everyone I know. Now everything's a way to flee from death. My shrink said, no need to free your enemies. Carrying around anger won't hurt you. That's propaganda. Hate is a natural emotion, he says. But five people dead this year and the ground no longer ground. Now I'm loving so hard until love's a wooden statue of love running from its own fires. Some people say, live like you'll never die, a prayer for idiots. Instead, I will chant, love is only fear of death, love is only fear of death. The house is waterproofed and the foundation secure. I want my illusions to arrange the cardboard people perched on the edge of a scene looking forward, not down. Forward, not down. The red light's on, five dead in a row. The system of manholes was checked last week, but there's fire under the sleeping city. Okay, so, I mean, everyone's heard of Rilke, haven't they? Rilke, Letters to a Young Poet. Rilke, Rilke, Rilke. And You know, I'm just sick of him. I'm sorry. I am. And I don't like him either. And, you know, why can't we read, you know, letters from Adrienne Rich, you know, Notes on Women and Honor, Notes on Lying? Why can't that be the book that we always talk about, you know? Anyway, so I thought, I have to get this out. So I thought, I would, what would Gertrude Stein say to Rilke, I was thinking. So this is Stein, Letter to a Young Rilke. This is in her words. I had a channeling experience with her. My dear Mr. Rilke, forgive me that I have been so long in writing to you. I'm reading your extended letters as I sit for days with my back to the view of Paris. My dear Mr. Rilke, really, what I want to say is, for God's sake, stop all this laborious earnestness. Really, please, just be your own God, but not in that top hat white man way. I know it's a stretch, but maybe try getting dirty sometime, or put it another way, buttonhole it. Terror the industry, the twat of it is missing. Godspeed handiwork, the dress needs to open. Try drag, maybe, or scissors. The long cloth blue heart looks directly into the well. Lengthen the framus until sunlight covers the niche, the hole. Maybe cut those sideburns of mourning. Anterior to it all, scrap the goddamn precious. Slat, harrier, cunt, then punt. Less noun, noun, and more less. I know everyone loves him. Okay. Okay. Okay, this is called The Hitman. Nice segue. The Hitman. I'd see him driving around, tanned in his red truck with young stud helpers. Sometimes in the yards, t-shirt in his back pocket. His name was Jelly. He came in every night at 6, freshly shaved and colognedwith Polo after his landscaping gig. Stood at the bar, 1 foot on the brass rail, 1 on the floor. In his 40s, but solid, a short fire plug of a man, he'd talk trash for hours in his odd, high-pitched voice and bellowed in strangled, spitted spurts. Yarr! That's what he sounded like. repeating bits of dialogue from his friend and drunk girlfriend. And the guy walked like a poodle, or she said, keep the fucking money. Did you hear that? Keep the fucking money. Everyone knew he had hurt people. He was a closer, did what was needed, but from the side, he was an Italian god. His bulbous nose red from drinking and the sun, his graying hair in waves almost to his shoulders with a close-cut beard. I'd bring out his food, he'd slip me a 20, even though the bartender ran the tab. He'd grab my cheeks and say, look at that face. What are you doing in this dump? I'd say, working. And he'd laugh. One night in late July, the Pitt Panthers playing Marquette, he had one eye on the corner TV, but knew everything going on in the bar. I walked up to him and asked, can you get me a gun? He didn't look at me, didn't flinch, lifted his chivas on the rock, said, what do you need a fucking gun for? To kill my boyfriend, I said. He broke character, turned and looked at me, bore a hole through me, bullet-like, for a long 5 seconds. I stared back. He turned back to the game and laughed loudly. No, he said quietly. Why not, I said. I ain't giving you a fucking gun. Why not? Because you'd use it. He tilted his head back, shook his hair, running his fingers through it, making a ponytail and then letting it loose. He drank down the chivas, his left pinky in the air, perfectly manicured. I'd had enough name-calling and arm-grabbing and wall-punching and other women. I reached down to find whatever gods I could and came up with him, standing at the bar with his girlfriend Patty until she couldn't walk from shots. There was no one else, I thought, no one who could help me. That night, in the crashed-out summer of 85, waiting for his bookie, his connection. He wasn't free either. We were brother and sister, as noble as yours or yours. Okay, just a couple more. I'm going to dedicate this one to James Allen Hall over there. And if you don't know James Allen Hall's work, you have to get his book, Now You're the Enemy. It's a great book. This is called Sister as Moving Object. My sister is moving in me again with her long arms and legs, moving to tell me she's still here inside my body, along with fireballs, free-roaming breath. Some days she's a tanker truck, magnetic, gleaming down my highways. Some days an ocean liner splitting the dark waters. Today, my sister's particular beauty rocks the house to 1965, wearing pink caked-on lipstick, tight pants, teased-up Anne Margaret hair. Could have been anyone's sister, and was, adopted from another place. She raised me up, taught me the necessary things, how to mix water with bourbon in the picture frame bar, how to mix the real and the unreal and make it glisten. Sea of submerged heartache, great blanket of sea, seamount swept back from the guillotine to the springboard, sluice, rail bed, heart of Copperfield, nightshade. When she hid her arsonist boyfriend in the basement closet, when the cops came looking for him, she taught me the power of a lie. No, I haven't seen him. No, not since yesterday. She taught me to be visible, then follow the circle down. Ball bearings, axe handles, fields of snakes, hot spur of escape when she ran downstairs to tip him off. Now, through the backyards, they won't look there. She gave and gave early lessons in desire, her and her dark-haired muscle boy on the rock behind the shopping center, me, the lookout. Air thick with everything coming, his thin t-shirt. I watched their mouths, torrential. Everything I wanted moving through them. Today I name the lasting roads, artery, toll road, road of disguise. She taught me imprisonment, not being a rat. I took to the heat like a dog to an electric fence. Don't go past the edge of the yard. Two girls blank from no beginnings in combat. So tall, the only way to beat her was to scissor her between my thick legs and squeeze. Tonight, the house humming her particular beauty, lack of compromise. She grabbed the nail scissors, stabbed me. Sea of the head thrown back. She, later, dancing to loud music, said, do it like this. Don't listen to what they tell you. See, we never shared. Blood sea. Okay, and I'm going to end with a Jim Morrison poem, which seems like the right thing to do. Now, I went to hear Jim Morrison in 1970 at the Civic Arena, and you know, it was a long time ago, and it was another life, and there was a lot of drugs and alcohol around. Of course, I wasn't doing any of them, but but there was like, so I had to check on the internet to make sure he was there, and he was there, and he was there, and but it was around that time that you know, he was getting in trouble for taking off his clothes and pissing on people and profanity, and he was being arrested on stage in Miami is when he got arrested. So anyway, this is related to this. Drinking the Lizard King. God of the soft parade, Mojo King and poet of Venice. In second song, he started. Wishful, sinful, our love is beautiful. Stripped his shirt down to muscled shoulders, threw it in the audience to bloody screaming, slid into his sideways Lizard King walk, unbuckled his belt, whiplashing his leg with it. We all wanted to die inside that slap, down to the neon, and we knew there were two kinds of people in the world, people who loved Jim Morrison for pissing on the audience, and Republicans. He copped a stance, waving his cock like it was the way, the truth, and the light. And it was. Just to be covered in him, we opened our mouths, and when the cops rushed the Miami stage, he dropped to his knees, his neon green jockstrap glowing. He grabbed his cock and swung it like a fire hose as they dragged him off, and we were baptized in the water of the Lizard King. We were stoned, immaculate. To be pissed on by the god Morrison was like being fucked in a muscle car, all cylinders firing full out, and nothing in the way. Thanks.